First, giving honor to God, to the pastors, to our congregation guests. Thank you for coming in today. I hope that this word is a word that will take seed up in your heart. And I hope it gives you a different way to look at the grace that God shows us. Now, this word is titled "You're Free." All right, you can't get much clearer than that. Then you're free. I don't know about y'all, but I wasn't always free. We're going to start out reading in Luke 23:14 through 19 in the New International Version. He said unto him, "You brought me this man as one who was inciting the people to rebel. I have examined him in your presence and have found no basis for your charges against him, neither has Herod. For he sent him back to us, as you can see. He has done nothing to deserve death. Therefore, I will punish him and then release him." But the whole crowd shouted, "Away with this man. Release Barabbas to us." See, Barabbas had been thrown in jail for starting a riot and for murder. Father God, I pray that you will use me today to get a word out, Lord God. I pray that the word that you give me today, Father God, will touch someone, Lord God, and will open some eyes, Father God, and will clear some paths, Lord God. Father, I pray that if any glory is given today, Lord God, it goes to you. Father, we have given you worship. We have given you praise. And Lord, help me bring forth a word. Amen. It says in 18, "But the whole crowd shouted, 'Away with this man. Release Barabbas to us.'" Now, what this is telling us is the conversation between Pilate, who was the governor, and the people, and the chief priests. And it was a matter of they had tried Jesus. Pilate was like, "Hey, this guy hasn't done anything wrong. We'll go ahead and beat him just to satisfy him. But we're not going to kill him." Now, it was a tradition that during Passover, the governor would give up one prisoner to the Jews. And what the Jews are saying is, "We'd rather have Barabbas than Jesus. So you go ahead and kill Jesus. We don't want him. We'll take Barabbas. We'll take the murderer. We'll take him. You can keep Jesus." Now imagine that you're Barabbas and you're sitting in a cell in chains. You don't know what's going on out there in that courtyard. You're sitting there waiting for the executioner. You hear these footsteps coming towards you and you're expecting him to come to you and say, "It's time to meet your maker. It's time for you to pay for your sins." You're sitting there, your head is down, tucked between your knees. You're scared. That cell opens up. And he says, "Get up. You're free to go." They took Jesus instead. Now, to me, that's that first sign of Jesus paying for your sins. Here's a man that has done nothing wrong, just tried to teach, just tried to get people closer to God. But he's going to take the place of that murderer. They're going to put him on that cross instead of the murderer. That's the same thing it is with us. Although all of us haven't committed murder, I haven't committed murder, right? But sin is sin. Be it you're a murderer, be it you're a thief, be it you're an adulterer, okay? Be it you're a cheat. Sin is sin. There's none greater, none lesser. When we put our faith in God and we put our trust in God, when we can accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior, he takes our place. He says, "You're free to go. The sin has been forgiven. You're no longer condemned." I don't know about y'all, but that's good news to a guy like me. Because I wasn't always the guy that's standing up here. Like Pastor said, I've been to hell and back. Me put myself through hell. Bad choices, lots of bad choices. You know, and I've been in a cell, been in a couple of different cells. I've been in a jail cell. Like I said, I wasn't always this guy. You know, I made a few mistakes in my life, and I remember sitting in a jail cell not knowing when I was going to get out. And that's a heck of a thing to go through. I can kind of relate with Barabbas, feeling that fear, not knowing when I'm going home, not knowing if I'm going to take a trip somewhere else before I go home. And to be able to stop and find peace because I know that he is going to forgive me is something that lifted me up, something that got me through. I remember after I was saved, I had to go out to California to take care of some traffic tickets. I got a DUI in 2003. And I had to go out to California. This is 5 years later. And I'm thinking the judge is going to say, well, since you decided to come all the way from Las Vegas back out here, you know, and since you done cleaned your act up and so forth, that we're going to show you mercy and grace. See, humans don't do that. God does. Jesus does. Humans don't do that. No matter what you've done, you still got to pay the piper as far as humans are concerned. Now, I knew I was saved. I knew I was covered. I knew that God was with me. But when I got to that court, I'm standing there before the judge and I'm grinning because I know God's favor is going to be on me. And that judge said, well, Mr. Stamper, you owe me 24 hours. And I like to dodge. Now, I had been in jail for longer than 24 hours. Trust me. But the disappointment that came upon me, it almost broke me. It almost shattered my faith for the simple fact I'm like, Lord, you brought me so far. And that's the one thing that just kept playing in my head. I don't believe you brought me this far to leave me. That's old him, in case y'all don't know that. And that got me through. Don't get me wrong. I was tempted. I was tempted to just give up. Lord, how can you do this? How can you forsake me? I feel like Jesus. Lord, how can you forsake me? And he didn't. That peace was still there. Don't know how, but that peace was still there. Now, I had a drinking problem, and my drinking problem was a big part of it, was trying to find that peace that I had lost so very long ago. And even in the midst of my little storm right there, that peace was still there. Speaking of the drinking, I don't know about y'all, but that was another prison for me. That was another cell for me. Anytime you're trapped in some type of bondage, it's going to be there. You're stuck, be it with your addiction, be it alcohol, drugs, be it pornography, what's they call fire pyromaniacs. No matter what it is, addiction, it's bondage. He said, give it to me. Lay your heavy burdens down here at my altar. I'll take that as well. I'll take your place as well. It's just amazing how, although I knew the word, I still stayed in my addiction. I still kept doing the same dumb things that I was doing. And God still loved me. God still had that grace for me. He still had that mercy for me. He was still with me. He wouldn't let it go. He wouldn't let me go. He said, I'll take your place. I'll take your place. You could be my Barabbas. I'll go ahead and take that cross for you. You continue to walk because you're free. I've done a lot of stupid things, and there's a lot of people out there that have done some other things. I can't get in everybody's business, you know, but we get trapped and we get stuck and we think that we can't go no further. We think that it is. It's the end. We're done. But by the grace of God, it's not. See, God knew that we was going to fail. God knew that we was all going to sin. He knew we'd all fall short. God knew that none of us could live that perfect life, but he wanted us to be able to stand righteously before him. So he knew he had to give us an advocate. He knew he had to give us someone that could take our place. Now, I'm the youngest of five kids, and I know every time I got in trouble, my older brothers and sisters were not willing to take my whooping, right? Every time I got in trouble as an adult, I had to take the punishment that came my way. But Jesus said, I'm here, I'll take your place. I'm not going to condemn you to him. I'm not going to let you suffer. As long as you trust and believe in me, I'll take your place. You'll be able to walk free. You'll be able to stand tall. You'll be saved. You'll have that righteousness. Romans verse 3, chapter 3, sorry about that, verse 22 through 24. Says this righteousness is given through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There is no difference between Jew and Gentile, for all have sinned and all have fallen short of God's glory. And all are justified freely by the grace through the redemption that came by Christ. See, when we accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior, when we put our faith in him, he takes our sin upon him. He took it to the cross with him. He took it to the grave with him. He took it to hell with him. And he deposited it there. And when he rose up, he didn't bring our sins with us. Matter of fact, says Psalms 103:12 says, as far as the east is from the west, are your sins from me. We don't have to walk with that burden. Yes, it says to carry your cross and follow me. Yeah. We still have to own up for what we've done here on this earth. But we don't have to carry that burden. We still have to repay man for what we've done on this earth. But we don't have to carry that burden. We don't have to carry the guilt. We don't have to carry the shame. God took that. Jesus took that as that replacement for us. I was doing a little studying, just a little bit. And Barabbas, in Hebrew, it means son of God. And doing a little bit more studying, said that the early Christians called Jesus Yeshua, Bar Abba, Jesus, son of God. And it makes me think that here it is, one son taking the place of another son for what he's done. Tell you a little something. I remember when I was a young man, I was a kid, and my mother died when I was young, and so it was weird to see how people didn't step up and help out, right? Eventually, my grandmother took in 5 kids, and she had just retired, and I remember there was a conversation I had with my brother, and I said, Derek, when we grow up and we have kids, if something was to happen to me, would you take my kids? Now, Derek was my idol. Derek was my God. I got baptized the first time because of Derek. And Derek looked me dead in my eyes and said, no. Why would I want that burden? And to think, same mother, same father, same upbringing, same blood, same God. He'd rather live his life and not be burdened than to step in for me. Not to be punished. Not like I did anything wrong. Just to help out. That had hurt my heart in such a way that I could never explain it. Matter of fact, I don't even talk about this very much. But to think that even though I had rejected God, and there's many people out there that have rejected God. There's many people out there who have killed, like I said. God still made sure they had a way to be reconciled with him. God still had a plan in the beginning of time to get them back before him. Like I said, I don't know about y'all, but that's good news to me. Because no matter what I've done, no matter what dumb things I've done, God has me. God has justified me. God has saved me. I was telling you guys last week that I ran into a guy I used to run around with that had been, got out of prison, his second bid in prison. And I stop and I think about that. It's like, had I not changed, where would I be? Had I not changed, what would I be doing? But that grace that God has given us goes beyond way compared. It is a comfort to me to know that no matter what, he's got me. Now, every day I try to do what I can do to be positive. Every day I try to do what I can do to walk the walk. I try to make sure I talk the talk. Pastor says all the time, but when you get squeezed, you know, I deal with people and I find myself praying more and more now because patience gets short. Patience get real short. But it's good for me to know that even if I mess up, even if I fall short and raise the voice, you know, I'm blessed and saved past the cussing at people. I'm saved past the grabbing a hold of people and seeing if they believe in healing. But I still fall short sometimes. And it is a comfort to me to know that I can go back and say, Lord, I'm sorry. Father, forgive me for what I've done. And know that I can continue on without the shame. Know that I can still walk on my head high. I can still speak the word of God to people, and people understand what I'm saying. And people can actually take it and know that I'm being truthful. Know that I'm being legit. I'm not just blowing hot air. We let circumstances, situations, past hurts, bound us up, lock us up to where we can't go forward, to where we can't progress. Well, I can't do this job because, you know, when I was a kid, I was always told I wouldn't be nothing. You know, I'll never find true love because every time I get into a relationship, the person either cheats on me or steals from me. So I'll never be in a relationship. We have all these different things that we just let pile onto us, that we let bound us up. It's like chaining us up. We play that song, there's power, you know, and hear those chains falling down. We have to be able to release that. We have to be able to come to that conclusion to where it's like, man, Jesus has already taken my place. I don't have to stay in the cell that I'm in. I don't have to stay with these chains on me. I can rise up and move forward. I don't care what my parents did. I don't care if my parents weren't no good. I can still be good. I don't care what my brothers did. I don't care if the people hung around me did. I can still do what I need to do. I don't have to stay stuck in this situation. You know, nothing worse than, oh, well, I drink and do drugs because my daddy abandoned us and my daddy and my mama beat me. You don't get up and get on about your business. You still got to take care of business. You still got to do you. You can't let nothing hold you back. You can't let nothing bound you up. You can't let no one chain you up like that, put you in that cell, put you in that little box. It says for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and all are justified freely by his grace given through redemption that came by Jesus Christ. So picture yourself, no matter what your bondage is, no matter what your cell is, picture yourself like Barabbas, sitting in that cell, in fear, head tucked between your legs. Take a minute and think about all the things you've done. Think about all the ways you've fallen short this week. Think about the little white lie you told your wife. Think about the website you went to that you shouldn't have. Think about the couple dollars you took from your boss. He won't notice it. Just think about all those little things. Like I said, sin is sin. Be it murder, be it adultery, be it molestation, rape. Be it you've done it or you're the victim of it, don't let it bound you. And you're sitting there, and you hear those footsteps coming. And then that door opens up, and they say you're free. They took Jesus instead. You can open that door. You can get up. You can walk out. The chains is falling off of you. The bondage is gone. You're walking out in the fresh air, the sunlight, this warm Las Vegas weather right now. And there is nothing holding you back. There's nothing load, no load on your back. The yoke has been broken. No matter what you're going through, you're free. No matter who says anything about you, you're free. Yep, that mistake I made yesterday is gone. I'm free. I can move forward, not pulling any anchors, not carrying any extra baggage. You're free. I said, that's good news to me. That is good news to me. Repeat after me, please. You are free to go. You are free to go. Put your name in there. Dale, you are free to go. Dale, you are free to go. There's no more bondage, no more chains. It's broken. The path is clear. All you got to do is walk it. Old Testament, in Exodus, it says that the Spirit of the Lord during the day was a pillar of smoke that guided the Jews, and at night it was a flame. There's nothing in front of you. Open pasture. You live your life. All you have to do is trust and believe in Jesus. Trust and believe in his word. Trust and believe in his promises. Trust and believe that when he took that cross and he rose up, you rose up with him. Can we get an amen? Amen? Father God, I just want to say thank you, Lord, for showing up today. Thank you for your presence being here today. Lord, as I said before, Lord, I pray that the word has sinking into someone's heart, Father God, that it is giving everyone a new way to look at things. Lord, I pray that you will speak spirit to spirit with each and every person here, Father God. You will touch their minds, touch their bodies, and let them walk free, Lord God. Let them walk blessed in your blessings. Let them receive everything that you have for them, Father God. Let them reach your destiny, Lord. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.